Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Emotionally Destructive Marriage, How to Find Your Voice and Reclaim Your Hope, is a Christian counseling and relationship book by Leslie Vernick. It addresses the reality of emotionally abusive or deeply destructive marriages and is written primarily for women who feel worn down by criticism, control, deceit, indifference, or cruelty, rather than treating every marital problem as a matter of better communication or greater effort. The book argues that some marriages cross into patterns of emotional harm that require clearer diagnosis, firmer boundaries, and wiser action. Vernick combines biblical interpretation with practical counseling insight to help readers assess what is happening, respond without self-betrayal, and determine whether restoration is possible or whether separation or leaving may be necessary for safety and well-being. Its purpose is not simply to preserve marriage at all costs, but to help readers recover dignity, agency, and hope in a situation that often feels confusing and isolating. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how Vernick distinguishes ordinary marital disappointment from emotional abuse. A central contribution of the book is its refusal to blur normal marital strain with emotionally destructive behavior. Vernick emphasizes that many marriages are imperfect, disappointing, or strained. But an emotionally destructive marriage involves repeated patterns that erode a spouse's personhood, confidence, and freedom. This distinction matters because people in damaging marriages are often told to tolerate more, communicate better, or simply be more loving. The book argues that such advice can become harmful when abuse is already present. By naming criticism, contempt, cruelty, deceit, and indifference as signs of deeper damage, Vernick gives readers a way to interpret their experience more accurately. That diagnostic step is important because confusion itself is one of the effects of emotional abuse. If a person cannot tell whether the relationship is merely difficult or genuinely destructive, she is less able to protect herself or make wise decisions. The book, therefore, begins by replacing vague guilt with clearer moral and relational language. Secondly, why boundaries are presented as a moral and practical response, not a selfish one. The book places strong emphasis on boundaries because Vernick sees them as a necessary response to harm, not an act of punishment or rejection. In destructive marriages, the injured spouse often adapts by over-explaining, appeasing, silence, or trying harder to please. Vernick argues that these strategies usually fail because they do not interrupt the underlying pattern. Boundaries instead define what behavior is unacceptable and what the injured spouse will do to protect dignity and safety. This is an important shift. The goal is not to control the other person, but to stop participating in the cycle of injury. The book frames boundaries in biblical terms, showing that they can be compatible with Christian faith rather than opposed to it. Vernick counters that endurance without limits can become enabling, and that truthful limits may be required for real change. Boundaries, therefore, function as both a practical tool and a test of whether the marriage can move toward healthier ground. Thirdly, the book's three-part path seeing clearly, changing wisely, and deciding what is safe. The structure of the book reflects a process rather than a single solution. Vernick leads readers through clearer perception, personal response, and finally decision-making about the future of the marriage. This progression is significant because people in destructive relationships often want immediate answers, but confusion, fear, and spiritual pressure can make quick choices unwise. First, readers are asked to see the marriage clearly, which means understanding patterns instead of isolated incidents. Second, they are encouraged to change their own responses in ways that do not depend on the abuser's cooperation. This includes speaking differently, setting limits, and refusing to keep pretending everything is fine. Third, the book addresses whether change is actually occurring and whether staying is safe or sustainable. That final stage is especially distinctive because it does not assume reconciliation is always possible. Vernick treats repentance, accountability, and consistent behavioral change as necessary conditions for restoration. If those are absent, continuing to remain may deepen harm. This stepwise model gives the book a practical logic discernment first, action second, and commitment decisions last. Fourthly, how the book uses biblical language to challenge misuse of submission and forgiveness. Vernick's Christian framework is not decorative. It shapes her critique of spiritual misuse in abusive marriages. One of the book's strongest concerns is that religious language can be used to silence the injured spouse, especially through appeals to submission, endurance, or forgiveness without repentance. Vernick argues that such teaching can distort biblical peacemaking by reducing it to passivity. In her view, true peacemaking is not the same as pretending, minimizing, or preserving appearances. She presents God as morally opposed to emotional abuse, which is important because many readers in religious settings have been taught to interpret suffering as their burden to carry quietly. The book challenges that interpretation by insisting that God does not require a person to remain trapped in ongoing harm. It also distinguishes forgiveness from removing all consequences or pretending trust still exists. This theological clarity is one of the book's key functions. It helps readers examine whether religious ideas are being used to protect a destructive system. By doing so, the book offers not only relational guidance but also a corrective to spiritual confusion. Lastly, why the book includes the option of leaving and what conditions make that serious, unlike many marriage resources that assume staying is the default answer. Vernick openly addresses the possibility of leaving an emotionally destructive marriage. This does not mean she treats divorce or separation casually. Instead, she presents them as serious options when abuse continues, safety is threatened, or change is not occurring. That inclusion is one reason the book stands out in its category. It recognizes that some marriages do not become healthy simply because one spouse wants them to. The abuser's willingness to accept responsibility, stop harmful behavior, and submit to accountability is essential. Without that, the burden falls unfairly on the injured spouse to preserve a relationship that is actively damaging her. Vernick's willingness to discuss leaving provides a realistic framework for readers who may already feel trapped. It also reduces the false hope that one more appeal, one more prayer, or one more attempt at being a better spouse will solve the problem. At the same time, the book does not romanticize departure. It presents it as a wise route of escape when restoration is not happening. That balance between hope and sobriety is one of the book's defining strengths. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who suspect they are in a marriage shaped by emotional abuse, chronic contempt, or controlling behavior, especially those who have been told to endure quietly or try harder to fix things. It will also be useful for pastors, counselors, and lay leaders who want a more realistic and biblically informed understanding of destructive marital dynamics. Its practical value lies in helping readers identify abuse patterns, set limits, and evaluate whether genuine change is occurring. Its intellectual value lies in its clear distinction between ordinary conflict and ongoing relational harm, a distinction many marriage books do not make carefully enough. What separates it from similar books is its willingness to name the possibility that staying is not always the wisest or safest choice. At the same time, it does not collapse into cynicism or despair. Instead, it offers a framework that combines discernment, accountability, and hope. For readers seeking a faith-based resource that takes emotional abuse seriously without minimizing spiritual concerns, this book occupies an unusually important place in the marriage counseling genre. If you would like to support Leslie Vernick, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.